Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Pertinent topic today, lust. We're dealing with the seventh commandment today, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is probably the area of the greatest downfall in the church today. We live in a lust-drenched society and has taken the church by storm. It seems impossible to escape the lust-driven images everywhere we turn. Worse than that, the root of the matter is that we, for the most part, don't want to escape these images. They are a huge part of our Sunday entertainment. They captivate us on the internet. It is so pervasive that most Christians don't even bother dealing with it anymore, and many Christians hardly even view it as a sin. Sensual worship takes place in our churches. Flagrant immodesty adorns even the most conservative groups today. There seems to be no limits for sexual indulgence, no boundaries for immodest behavior. Those who engage in lust and immodesty seem to feel like they are hip and up with the times. Modesty in dress and behavior is scorned as a thing of the past. The church isn't tied to such old-fashioned standards anymore. Well, these things may seem old-fashioned to us, but they sure aren't old-fashioned to God. Stay tuned for a close look at the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. As mentioned before, we are on a pertinent subject today, a real hot button. Nothing could be more needed in the church today than a close look at God's standards in regard to all things sexual. We are told in the book of Revelation that in the last days there will be a great harlot who comes forth to seduce the world. In fact, it says that the people will be drunk with the wine of the passion of her immorality. I make no apology when I say that I believe we are in that time. The world is drunk with passion and immorality. There seems to be no limit or restraint to our lusts. We are a world gone insane. The pagan cultures of the past would blush at the total abandonment to lust that we see today. And it is by no means just the world. The church is also drunk with the passion of immorality. In fact, it would be accurate to say that the church is the particular target of this hellish campaign to pollute the bride of Christ. So lust has infiltrated the church. It is in every facet of our entertainment and media. And the worst part is, we just sit there and make no move to stop it. We take it all in without a fight. Well, the time to fight has come. God is calling forth a bride without spot or wrinkle, a beautiful, clean, pure bride that is not corrupted by the lusts of the world. He wants you to be part of that bride. But it will only happen if you take his word seriously. And what does his word say? It says, flee immorality. How often do we do that? How often do we take a stand against the flood of filth that pours into our homes unchecked? How often do we stand up for righteousness and say, not in my house? The filth of the great harlot has no place in this house. How often do we check our thoughts? Jesus gives us his standard. If we think lustful thoughts towards someone, it's the same thing as committing adultery with them. That's the old-fashioned standard of God, and I believe he hasn't changed it at all to keep up with the times. And that's why we're looking at the seventh commandment today, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's part of a study we're doing on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. You can pick up a copy at Amazon if you'd like to follow along. It's worth it for referencing back to previous lessons, and if for nothing else, it's full of funny and instructional cartoons. We're heading into chapter 14 today, the seventh commandment. The enemy of our souls is never outright in his purposes against us, but rather leads us by degrees into a lifestyle which is contrary to God. And so, a society which would have never accepted sexually explicit media only a few decades ago now finds no limit to what is unacceptable. In fact, the only requirement now seems to be that it sells. That could never have happened if it came about all at once. But because it came by degrees, we now find that what was repulsive only a few years ago is now greeted without even a raised eyebrow. If you, as a Christian, remember what would have seriously bothered your conscience in movie content only 10 years ago, you'll find that it no longer bothers you. Why? Because 10 years of steady viewing has had the effect of conditioning you to accept these things as normal. Now, everyone who watches TV or movies will see on screen that the normal course for meeting someone is to sleep with them the same night. If the characters are lovable and funny and there's no obvious nudity, it slips by as an innocent romantic comedy or wholesome family entertainment. And these movies fill the homes of church-going Christians. What is acceptable to man is not acceptable to God. The Bible says, do not follow the multitude in doing evil. What the movies don't portray is the awesome, devastating consequences that inevitably follow the sins of adultery and fornication. Not only did they produce horrible discord and fighting and broken hearts and broken homes and devastated children, they also incur the strict discipline of the Lord. Each time someone commits a sexual sin, an inescapable punishment is sent to them. The penalty is so terrible that they will wish they had never allowed themselves to stray. It might not be immediate, but it will come as sure as the sunrise. Meanwhile, our enemy is bent double with glee. While hiding the true consequences from the naive, he has succeeded in convincing the world that it is very desirable and acceptable to behave in such a manner. Well, let's see what God's word has to say on the matter. Scriptures dealing with sexual sin are truly frightening. Let's consider just these few. Keep your way far from her, the adulteress, and do not go near her door, lest you give your years to the cruel one and you groan at the latter end. When your flesh and your body are consumed, he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction. That's found in Proverbs chapter 5. Or, can a man take fire into his heart and not be burned? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever goes in will not go unpunished. That's from Proverbs chapter 6. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know it will cost him his life. That's Proverbs 7. You don't hear very much of that today. You don't hear that preached in many TV churches. You don't hear these kind of consequences on our funny romantic comedies, do we? Let's keep going. Again in Proverbs 7, do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are her slain. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. And then in Job 31, we see, if my heart has been enticed by a woman, that would be a lustful crime. Moreover, it would be an iniquity punishable by judges. For it would be fire that consumes to hell and would uproot all of my wealth. And perhaps the most serious verse of all is found in Malachi 2, 14 and 15. The Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. So we see that contrary to public opinion, the punishment for sins of the flesh are extreme. Rather than us excusing them because they're so prevalent in us and society, we must learn to fear breaking the seventh commandment. Sexual immorality is one of the sins where we are not instructed to stand firm, rather we are instructed to flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Who can imagine anything more fearful than what is described above, where God says, not one who has done so, that is, not one who has engaged in immoral behavior, has a remnant of the Spirit. With our overemphasis today on the love of God, we find that many sins, which God mightily condemns, are glossed over by the church at large. Professing church members and pastors can engage in immorality only to be quickly excused by God's love and forgiveness. As mentioned earlier, we can indeed be forgiven if we heartily repent, but the consequences of sin remain. A wake of destruction will follow those who fall into adulterous sin, no matter who they are or how the sin is passed over by the leadership or the congregation. Worst of all, what cannot be detected by man happens to us. If we treat it lightly, we may grieve the Holy Spirit. And when that occurs, a blindness sets in that prevents us from realizing it. So we can go on confidently thinking that all we do is wonderful in the sight of God, when in fact we have grieved the Holy Spirit. Look that up in Ephesians 4:30. Of this we can be sure, there is not a single false prophet in this age or any other that realizes or thinks that they are a false prophet. Each one is completely right in his own eyes and firmly convinced of his standing with God. Such is the nature of sin. Consider the confirmation of this in Psalm 36, verses 1 and 2. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. If there is unconfessed, unforsaken sin in the life of a church leader, no matter how popular they are with men, God will say, "I never knew you." That's why the instruction must be to fear and run from sin. Adulterous affairs are made to look so innocent these days, even being the fulfilling of your greatest heart's desire, and even God's real, truest will for you is not to be with the person you are with, but with someone else. We make all kinds of excuses, and we justify all that we do, but it is wrong in the eyes of God. Why is it so wrong? Why is adultery so wrong to God? Well, God made man and woman as majestic creatures. The scripture says he made man only a little lower than the angels. God made mankind to be full of wisdom, holiness, beauty, intelligence, talents. He made them to become, as his sons and daughters, just like him. We have actually been given a new spiritual genetic code when we receive the Holy Spirit. It shapes us and causes us to develop in a godly direction. As part of that new spiritual being, he included one area dealing with sex. Within the context of our complete person, it is also wonderful if it is in God. But no matter how wonderful that area may be, God created us to be noble creatures growing into things that are higher and better than sex. God wants to elevate men and women. He wants them to control their passions in sex as in every other area, and use it within the legally defined boundaries. When it is used properly, it even becomes a true form of genuine love. Genuine love consists of thinking of the other person rather than yourself. That, translated to physical love, makes it a beautiful and unselfish act. Love is the unselfish attempt to please the other person. Lust, on the other hand, is the animal desire to gratify our own needs. So while God seeks to elevate men and women to where his love is brought even into the realm of sex, the enemy of mankind works to do the opposite. Remember, his goal is to get us to break all the commandments. So he works at building lust in us. His desire is to make passions rise so that everyone becomes the object of lust. He wants to reduce the noble creature God made to only selfish passions. He wants to reduce God's supreme creation into animal lust of the lowest form. So instead of being creatures controlled by reason and love, they become even lower than the animals by elevating their passion for sex to encompass their whole existence. Satan constantly stirs up lust so that instead of being a society of people made in God's image, capable of glorious harmony, we are reduced to a society of objects. We no longer interact with each other as people, but are only interested in what we can get. I hate to stop here because the next heading is the most awesome of this chapter, but because of time, we'll have to continue next week. May the Lord bless you, and may you allow the Holy Spirit to examine you in this area during the week. We look forward to getting together again next week. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.
weight together with a firm expectancy. Let us strengthen one another to a life of purity.